Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you know fear? Do you know what it's like to feel your heart beating in your chest so intensely that you can't even breathe? This is a story of monsters, creatures, hideous nightmares that crawl in the night.
Giant spiders? What the hell kind of bullshit is that?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, one and all, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 423. Today, I'm Scott Johnson. Never know when I'm going to be somebody else. Also today, we have Brian. No one you can trust more than a creepy old guy who's breeding spiders all day to hang out with your kid, Dunaway.
Touch my hairy spider. Oh, hi. Okay, cut. David. No, not you in the green suit holding a tennis ball and a stick pretending to be a spider. David Arquette. Yes, you. A word, please. Look, I love the energy you're bringing to the set today. It's 100% better than the wet blanket acting you were doing yesterday. Oh, you did you? You looked up acting tips on Yahoo last night, did you? Oh, you mean the number one search engine for 2002? Ah, well, that explains it. So you decided to go with the acting is reacting method like you've seen in the WWF. Which is still the WWF because it's 2002. Bravo! Now stop it! Bad David, bad! What's that? No. You're the two-legged freak, you two-legged freak. Oh, you want to get physical? All right, let's go! I'll rip that stippers bikini area right off your adorable little face and then write a barber scene into the movie to explain his disappearance. Oh, you think I won't? I'll do it. I'll do it right now. Give me a piece of paper. All right, scene. Chris sits in the barber chair. Floyd the barber. Yeah, that's right. Floyd, the barber. That's all the effort I'm putting into this, David. And that's what really happened on the set. True story.
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
I can't wait to talk about that. The disappearing goatee. Like,
yeah, that thing was
all right,
just
hold on.
Out of there, man.
Wait for it.
All right. Also with us, Randy. Hey, you guys, Black Widow is in a movie about spiders, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy. All right, y'all, it's 2:05, and I'm broadcasting live here on KRNK. Glad you're listening, because what I've got to say might save your life. You see, everything is connected. Every detail of everything you encounter is going to come back to you later. Here's some advice. You see an old woman having trouble with a matchbook, you remember, that matchbook's going to come in mighty handy later. You see a young woman whose mother is about 10 years older than her putting on one of them tasers right on the side of her boyfriend's leg, and then he claims it shocked him into balls? That's a powerful device that you're going to want to keep track of. But don't let them fool you. You know the difference between voltage and current. And
oh, no, you
don't. Know the true story. That taser didn't do shit and everyone died. And then about 5 seconds later, the police show up and they probably died too. The end.
Oh, no. The police.
The poli. The popo.
There you go. With us finally, Brian, never bring a ski pole to a spider party, Ibbit.
That never works. Wow, Mike, you really know your spiders. You identified the jumping spiders, the orb weavers, and the tarantulas. But if you come over here, quit staring at my tooth, I'll show you some new additions that I've gotten recently. This one over here is the Dunawayacus carolinidae. Instead of shooting his webbing out in a single stream, it just goes all over the place in different directions. But it's very effective. Next, we have the Aloha deluximus. It's a common misconception that these can only be found in the South. They're actually found on the West Coast. And what's really interesting about them is their webbing. It's like yarn, and boy, can they spin a yarn. True story. Last up is the Frogpanticus hostimus. He's an amazing weaver. Did you see his web? Yes, he'll weave a mention of Mad Max Fury Road into every web he creates. Seriously, stop staring at my long, gross nails.
So gross.
Long and gross. You're not wrong about that.
It's a movie where I gave up even thinking about what might gross you out, because who cares?
Yeah.
What like, doesn't, right? Yeah.
But also, like, none of them were really that gross once you get on that baseline that the movie has, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. The movie's Eight-Legged Freaks, and it tries to be gross a lot, but the only gross scene for me was probably the spider crawling out of that dude's mouth. Because that's just, I don't care how.
Right at the beginning, early on. Yeah. Early on, you get a little shot.
Yeah. Well, I guess second spider, because you had the last action hero dude getting his. But
yeah,
like I think the first big spider interaction you had is
it was weird, though.
When he was sucking on the tube. You don't suck on a tube, something. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Who does that? Yes.
Nobody should be doing that no matter what. But the fact that those were all tiny kind of baby spiders was weird, because weren't they all huge at that point? Like, were old school spiders, or at least they were. I mean, maybe they were bigger, but we already had jumping, leaping ones somewhere. These things weren't that grown.
I assume those were baby giant spiders.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're bigger than baby spiders, but not as big as adult giant sized spiders.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. If I follow along the logic. What's great is that guy in that scene, and it was very subtle, so you have to just kind of watch it again. But when those spiders start crawling out of his mouth, about halfway through, he glances down as if he's looking at some sort of special effect prosthetic on his face to make sure everything's okay.
You know what? Right. I don't have to watch it again.
No.
And damn you for telling me I have to.
Well, was this everyone's first viewing? I don't remember how many of us saw this in theaters. Anybody? Or just
no
in theaters?
Nope. Definitely not in theaters.
Okay. Was this even in the theaters? I didn't see this until Blockbuster.
It was definitely in theaters. Yeah,
I remember like a marquee in my town where I lived that had Eight-Legged Freaks on it, but ain't no way I'm gonna go see that. I didn't really realize how good these movies could be until Piranha 3D, and it feels like this is like the template, right? Like this is like what Piranha 3D was kind of looking at. And going, okay, so we need to have a lot more young adults and a lot more bikinis and so on. You know?
Yeah, I'd written in my notes that it was like proto, Sharknado, proto, the Piranha thing. But then I thought, wait a minute, all this stuff owes their beginnings and endings to freaking Tremors. I feel like Tremors is the proto of all this stuff. So if I'm giving anybody credit, it's probably Tremors, and then everything else after
I'm going to go just a little bit further back, and I want to say that this borrowed some stuff from The Blob, which all these are just homages to the 50s, you know, kind of giant monster movies.
I remember seeing
1988. Did you see that late 80s?
Oh, I did see the late 80s one. And is that one more tongue-in-cheek, like, all right, we're actually going to kind of lean into the humor of this?
It wasn't quite to what this movie is, but it was much more comedic.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me.
Also, a black guy died first in this movie. I just want to put that out there. We haven't had
No. Wait a minute. Spider guy died first.
Right. The bad guy from Last Action Hero.
Yeah. And RoboCop 2. Yeah. He was selling Nuke in RoboCop 2. Remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Leon didn't pass away until a little later on.
You're right.
And I thought he was going to make it.
It was the second death, though. Wasn't he? I mean,
I'm pretty sure he died.
No, because he was webbed up.
Oh, I thought he died.
No, he got his gut sucked out. But you're right. I think
the toxic waste trope driver. The toxic waste trope driver might have died right at the very, very beginning. Yeah. We're not exactly sure.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he's
He swerved to miss, but I think he kept on rolling even after he dumped off his load.
Who swerves to miss a bunny? Those things will never get hit. Mm. They are so fast. Mm. Man,
they only
get
hit if
you try to hit a bunny.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, I'll take some pictures of our neighborhood.
Yeah.
The roads in our little neighborhood here.
Do you get a lot of rabbits there?
Those are rabbits that die of natural causes, and then a coyote drags it out in the road, and then the carcass just gets flat.
The coyotes are spreading misinformation. Is that what you're saying? Just
only if you call a Ford Taurus a natural
natural causes. That's right.
I'll tell you who can't get across the road is armadillos. Those guys, no chance. Yeah. As soon as the road, it's like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, we don't have those up here, so I never get to see those anymore. When I was in the South, I remember seeing them all the time, but we don't get them in.
Speaking of tropes, can I jump right to the moment later in the movie when I threw popcorn at the screen?
Yeah, dude. Nah. Were you really eating popcorn while you watched
popcorn?
This? Jeez.
Yeah, guys, it's a movie. you eat popcorn.
I'm with Randy.
Okay.
I'm with Randy.
Guys.
All right.
Every time.
That's fine.
Every time.
I've gained 150 pounds doing film sack the last 10 years. And you're telling me
maybe you ought to stop the raisinettes.
Yeah,
that's true.
I do the 100 calorie packs. That's the only way I survive.
Just don't do
this movie.
Don't do the
this
dots.
Movie is, yeah. This movie is so riddled with tropes that it almost feels like they started with an outline. Like, let's prioritize our top 20 tropes we want to make sure we hit.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's better than things like Piranha 3D because it has an actual story. It doesn't love its own story. It doesn't spend much time telling its own story, but it has a real story with a guy returning to the small town that he was from, and the town is dying, and that's a trope, the dying town.
Oh,
we can talk about that.
Always, sure.
Yeah. And then, but he has a goal and a hope throughout the whole thing, and when we finally see his goal and his hope met, insofar as he discovers this vein of gold in a wall that you could just walk over to and see with your naked eyes. How is that? I was so mad that someone had dug a mine shaft right past the vein of gold that's exposed to the light that they hung in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That place is weird.
I know there's a lot of,
Uh-oh. Okay, I'm glad that wasn't just me.
No, this is Dunaway going. He's back. Dunaway,
oh, I'm back.
Start that sentence over.
Yeah,
I just dropped. Yeah, my connection just went way down. Oh, so, yeah, there was a lot of things in this movie that made me feel like there was another story being told that was hidden, because there was a lot of deception, especially on the mayor's part. And I feel like the mayor knew that gold was there somehow or another, and I think that was what was going on.
Because you're kind of led to believe that the gold is right under the mall. So the guy who's buying everybody out and sending them away knows that it's there. But it's just dumb. Like, if a child can walk into your mine and find your billion-dollar solution, then it's not much of a mystery, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that the mayor killed Chris's dad in my own fanfic that I've read. And he's trying to cover up. He's trying to get the whole town to move away. Yeah. So
and Dougie Doug is in on it. So he's just spinning lies.
That's why that's another story. Look at my teeth.
Right. I know. Yeah. Well, we're setting up a 9-legged freak sequel is what they're trying to do.
Guess that never happened. And I don't know how successful this was. I guess I could look it up, but it didn't kill at the box office.
Kill and it didn't die, right?
Right. The reviews were kind of bad. But I'm gonna I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I'm gonna say that despite all of its issues, of these kinds of movies, I had a lot of fun with this one. More than I thought I was gonna have.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's dumb, and it's dumb on purpose, but also there's a lot of dumb they didn't need to go so dumb with. Like, spiders don't need to have comical little squeaks and sounds and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
the sound effects work in this movie was weird.
It sucked. There was nothing wrong with them. The sounds of them skidding around or them being scary or having big roars and stuff, that's fine. But
I say no to that.
No.
Spiders don't make sounds no matter how big you make them. And I think, I mean, for a comedic film like this, I guess you do it because it's less scary for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to take out all the sound that the spiders make, except for their skittering around, their legs hitting the ground. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been a really scary, much scarier than the.
Yeah,
the sound effects. The Foley artists were like so exhausted by the end of this movie. They were like, were like breaking up celery. It was just all through the movie when they were like wiping away spider webs. It was like always like.
Wait a minute. Why do spider webs stay tiny when you increase a spider by a factor of 10,000?
Yeah, that was bad. Right. Bad effect, because they should have been big, stringy.
Bad effect, indeed.
It should have been, especially those orb weavers, the kind of webs they do in real life are like super spread apart. Like the stereotypic web, the way you would draw it and kind of fan it out or whatever. And this just was like mesh and, you know, thick, gross, like Indiana Jones trying to get through the tomb kind of.
That's weird. I love orb weavers in real life because, for starters, they're really common around here during the autumn, and you can see why that gets associated with like Halloween, because that's when they all seem to be out building nests at night, the webs at night.
And they make traditional spider webs, those round ones,
Yeah, but what I love about them is they have this one big stitch that goes down the middle, it's like way more visible than the rest of the web. And like, I was just expecting that. I don't know why I wanted this movie to be like realistic in ways that it didn't need to be. Like in fact, I'm complaining that the spider webs are too small, and I don't actually want them to have been big ropes. That's not, it's just weird to me that like the sound gets amped up. The spider gets amped up, but their webs are these tiny little things that you can just pull off of your own face. Why didn't Grandma pull it off of her own face? I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Grandma.
Gladys. Oh, don't get me started on Gladys' storyline. Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Always be smoking. Always be smoking. Always have your ski pole. Always be
terrible. I was actually fine with her silliness. I just didn't like how Chris, David Arquette's character, at the end was like, no, you guys go ahead. I'm going to stay and look for the chance that Gladys is still alive. And then he like digs through some, she was like one of the first ones to get spooled up. And he like looks through like three cocoons, and he finds her. And then he just runs out and he tells everybody, oh yeah, I looked everywhere. Everybody was dead.
Right. Exactly.
It was just Gladys. It was all good.
Did he do all his looking around after he found Gladys?
Right.
Before?
That's what I'm thinking.
He should have stuck around, looked a little longer to try to find that goatee that disappeared for no reason.
See, that feels like something that they had to add post, because test audiences would have said, well, why didn't David Arquette save anybody else? Why was he just, you know, why was he only focused? Oh, we need to add a line really quick. David, can you come in and shoot a new line about that you looked at all the other
people
bodies?
People are asking questions.
Yeah.
there were a lot of drop-ins in this movie, like a lot of moments when the camera had gone somewhere else and you could tell there was a new line added in post because it sounded a little different. It didn't sound quite the same.
There's a continuity scene at Floyd the Barber's. Everything in Floyd the Barber's place confused me during that attack, because, first of all, there was one person that was actually a customer that was on the ceiling, but I thought it was like Floyd's friend, who is living buddy, I suppose, is in the back room. And then when Floyd is trying to chicken out and run, there's the front window has been smashed by a hat rack. And, you know, there was never a hat rack shown or mentioned, but the glass was broken in the front door, and I'm like, what just happened? I feel totally confused right now at Floyd's house. Maybe it was this fever dream I'm supposed to be understanding, but it was weird.
Yeah,
maybe the whole movie is a dream after the moment that Floyd the Barber kills David Arquette by accidentally cutting him. Like, maybe as he's coming in for the swipe, he actually killed him.
My theory is that that Chris is actually a time traveler. I really felt like that's what was going on there, because he knew the name of the spider, Consuela, but I don't recall any dialogue where the kid tells him about the spider's name. But he says very clearly at the end, something about Consuela.
Yeah. I also hate that name. I hate that name. Ugh.
Consuela?
Yeah.
Or David Arquette. Or Chris. No. I hate David Arquette.
just Chris. Doesn't no, like just Chris.
The name Consuela makes, I don't know what it is. It's like hearing gymnasium too many times. I hate it. Can't stand it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's right. Nothing about its origin or any of that. It's just something about the sound of it. Really, it's like chalkboard fingernails for me.
Right. Consuela. What y'all think about Scott Tara's performance? Because they kept acting the script.
Yeah, I was just, who the hell's that?
Mike Parker, right? That's the kid, right?
Oh,
yeah.
The kid.
So
he kept
acting like he was the central piece to this, because even Chris kept going, listen to the kid.
Yeah, it's how you get your PG-13. You get the kid. It's basically an ET kind of thing, and you know.
And in all these kind of movies, you do need the he's the Obi-Wan basically, right? Because he knows all about these spiders, and mm-hmm. he can say, oh no, these are only these are trapdoors, or these are orb weavers, mm-hmm. and you got to stay away from over here, and mm-hmm. that's an Iraq attack.
Which gets you dangerously close to a Steven Spielberg film, and you don't want me, the audience, going, oh, this actually could have been something. Like, no. But let's get our hopes back where they belong.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I had that feeling a couple of times in the movie where I was like, you could, you know, you're this close to going full Spielberg. So either do it or get the hell away from it. Like, why are you even toying with it? And part of me thinks it was just because they were trying to maintain that rating to get a larger audience in. Like, I would have preferred a more self-serious R take on this thing. That would have been my preference.
But Kari, this on the surface can kind of be deceptive. This has had a Kari Wer in it, as well as a very fresh-faced Scarlett Johansson, so young.
And they look exactly alike, by the way. She totally looks like her mother.
But as Randy pointed out in his opening, it did not look like she could have sired Scarlett Johansson. Does not look like Carrie Wer is old enough to have.
She was supposed to be
Scarlett Johansson out of her loins.
She was supposed to be 16 years her senior, according to the story.
Well, that means because I knew because she was a Carrie Wer, or however you say her name. She was 30. Wer. She's 53 now or something. So she would have been like 34.
She was born in 67, and Scarlett Johansson was
34. ScarJo is.
Do the math, because this would be fun math, because I think that she would have had to have been like 14 when she
had
her.
So 67 and
84, 17 years.
Seven. So perfect. Okay. Wow. They nailed the most realistic thing about this movie is that.
But the thing is, they don't look it.
Right? No, they definitely don't look it.
When you see them, you're like, okay, ScarJo looks about 15 and she was something like 17. So you're trying to make the greatest distance possible. She looks about 15, mm-hmm. and her mom looks okay. I'm going to give her early 30s.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't work. But I love the whole trope thing where the big sheriff in town is actually Kari Wer. Little Kari Wer is the person toting the big gun. I like that. That makes me smile.
I did too. I liked that too. And I liked her dumb deputy guy. I thought he was great.
Oh, Pete was to me, I would have watched a spinoff series called Pete, because he was my absolute favorite thing in this film. Yeah. Rick Overton was just my favorite in this film.
Yeah, he was great.
When we first meet him, he's just standing in a lagoon of toxic sludge, and you're just like, oh, this is going to need a whole other movie. a whole other movie to get us to, because there's no way this movie's going to take any time having him evolve, although, like, if spiders could grow so big so fast, he should have, right?
In theory, at least.
All he was getting was a little hair growth, right?
Yeah, right on the right. That's all. Yeah, exactly. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, can we really quickly talk about Kari Wer? Because aside from Sliders, she was all over the 90s, but what else was her thing?
Well,
she was on MTV a lot.
You guys are forgetting that we've seen her in a Film Sack movie. We saw her in Thinner. She was in Thinner. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
she was a gypsy, right? She was the gypsy.
Yeah, she was a gypsy girl.
Yes, right.
I'm sorry. What are they called now? Something people. What are they? They don't like be
gypsy. Oh, well, they call them gypsies Romani. In the movie. So I'm sticking with it.
The Romani people. The Romani people. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, just I'm throwing that out there so we can stop those emails, because we'll get them no matter what. We know.
So was she Was she a VJ or what was she on MTV?
There's just a lot of videos.
She was co-host on Remote Control with wasn't that what she did? Didn't she do Remote Control co-hosting? Was it
Adam Sandler and
No. Adam Sandler. Was Adam Sandler?
No, Adam Sandler came out. He would come out and do bits on Remote Control,
yeah,
but
yeah,
he was
yeah,
not.
He was the voice. Like he'd come out and do his little the next question is.
But he's not the he was like nobody then. Nobody knew who he was. It was pre SNL, but what's his name? I can't remember the host guy's name. He died early.
I got. You got it. Come on, you're almost there.
He died.
Ken Ober.
Ken Ober.
Yeah, he died. I don't know what happened.
And Colin Quinn.
Okay, yeah.
Colin Quinn was my favorite part.
Yeah, he was like his buddy,
okay.
What would you call him?
Yeah. I don't think that makes her bones. I think that's part of it. But like,
what is that phrase you're using? What does that mean?
I don't know what you're saying.
I feel like Kari Wuhr was one of those. She was like the alternative in a bunch of alternative series. So like, she was on a series in the 90s called Class of 96. Mm. And it was intended to be like better than whatever, Beverly Hills 90210 or whatever. But it wasn't.
Mm.
You know, so they're like, and she was actually, she actually had like a run on Beverly Hills 90210 and, mm-hmm. and this kind of thing. I feel like she just like kept showing up in other things and eventually worked her way up into some films. But she never, she was never like really famous.
Yeah, never really took off. She's huge into voice acting now. That's kind of her main gig.
Yeah.
She was in she was Maria Hill in the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes TV series animated thing. She was, she's a voice as, again, Maria Hill in the Marvel Experience.
Barbara Keane and Batman, Gotham by Gaslight.
Yep, Vixen.
Right.
Bunch of stuff like that. She's got lots of credits in the voice acting world. But yeah, she started out. I'm trying to see here if I can find that stuff from. Oh yeah, she was on 90210 for a while. Yeah, it just feels like somebody I've seen forever, and every time I see her on screen, I go, "Oh, it's her again." Okay, I know her. What do I know her from? I know her from something, and she's fine. She's good in this.
She's fine. You know who I loved in this? Okay, so do you know who I love but not like in this role?
The really old guy. Oh,
the mayor.
Okay,
the mayor.
Well, that was okay, but Dougie Doug.
Oh,
I felt like his Harlan character. Wait, was it Harlan? Is that right?
Yes. And I'm sorry, but there's never been a human being who looks like Dougie Doug that was named Harlan. I'm sorry.
Right. And so I've enjoyed his comedy much more in other things. I felt like here they played it a little too straight. Maybe I enjoyed the anal probe dialogue, but that was about.
That was almost my intro, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. That was interesting, but I felt like they gave him just a lot of just conspiracy things to say that really weren't.
Yeah. I mean, he's
insightful or humorous.
He's Woody Harrelson's character in 2012. Yeah. I mean, he's basically he's got to be the wackadoo counterpart to the realism that's going on.
Absolutely. My strongest memory of him was in Justified, the first season. He played a character on him, Israel Fandy, and he was fantastic. And it was just two different episodes.
Wow.
He was great in that, and it wasn't comedic at all. It was just kind of this drug, if I remember right, this drug crazed character, and he was great. But in this, he annoyed me because he just did. He just annoyed me.
It was the role. It was the role because I like Dougie Doug, so it had to be the role.
Can we talk about that trope, though? The trope of the guy who's talking on the radio that you get to keep coming back to sort of like reset.
Sure.
So you get these bridges from scene to scene, and like that person's voice begins and ends. Like for me, it always takes me to Pump Up the Volume. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. I remember the song too.
I kind of like it. I don't want it overused, but I kind of like it. I can watch a movie where there's some weirdo on the radio who they keep going back to.
Stephen Wright in Reservoir Dogs or...
Who else? Who else does
this? I just watched The Fisher King and watching Jeff Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing about
I knew it. So as soon as I said it, I'm like, that's not right.
Northern Exposure had that DJ I always loved. Like, yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
But he's not.
One of the worst examples was probably, and this character is almost just like him, but when Woody Harrelson was in 2012, do you remember that disaster?
That role was bad. That role was bad, too, because I love Woody Harrelson as well.
Yeah, that was no good.
Yeah. It's definitely a trope and a cheat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not something that actually happens in real life, right? There's not, like, bunches of pirate radio stations all over the country where a small town is listening to.
But if this was now,
it would be a podcast. Basically, that's what it would be right now, is the conspiracy.
I'm not so sure. I think they're just mainstream 24-hour news networks now is what they are. Because honestly, the voice of the psycho who thinks everything's aliens is basically Alex Jones or freaking, other.
And he had KFRID, so I don't think he was broadcasting illegally. I think he actually had, he had everything.
Well, they have those, what do they call those? They're like, AAA network or AAA antennas or something like that. Oh, what are they? Pirate radio is probably the better term for it. But
do you have your official call letters? Because don't you have to those call signs? Yeah, everything you can't just
register with
radio.
The FCC. But
right,
I'm just saying like that as a trope. I like it and yes. I hate it and I don't. I want to see a better movie with it, but I don't because I don't. I just feel like it's such a crutch.
It's a one note, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's just one single note.
And you can't take it very far. And also, the illegality of it is what makes it interesting. So if he's doing this all legally, well, then it's just dumb. If it's even podcasting's dumb because anybody can do it. There's nothing holding anyone back from having the dumbest show on earth and putting it out for the world to hear. Like nobody's going to hunt you down. The idea is that you need to feel like it's in peril, it's also, it's a trope that carries over into apocalyptic stuff. Like, the only thing left on the air is this one sole voice on a channel. If you're out there, just let me know. They do this in like the Fallout games. And, I can't think of any movie. Oh, what was the movie where the Night of the Comet, they had that radio person.
Oh yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. And wasn't that guy, that was Chakotay from Voyager. Anyway, I'm having a weird memory of that, but it's a thing people play with, and it's a way of saying this is the only lifeline we have between, this is how I can communicate. Yeah. This is the last channel on Earth. Like there's that thing that it provides, but in this particular case, it just, I don't know. It just annoyed
me. Yeah, this movie uses it for the earliest climax in the film, which is them trying to get a message out because of the trope of cutting the one phone line out of town. And I mean, believe me, I can talk about this movie in tropes only. Like every single bit is ridiculous. Right. But I love that they're like trying to get a signal. They're trying to get a message out. And of course, the broadcast tower is on top of the mall and this kind of thing. Right. It's like, that's great.
Yeah,
I like the tropiness, like Randy said. I thought it was a fun trope romp.
The whole thing is, and they know they're doing it. So this is all very, and we don't even do these very often. We kind of avoid them generally, but occasionally something will come up where it feels like it needs to be looked at with a little more scrutiny. Like we're probably done with Sharknado movies because we did one and we're done. Like we don't need to see, we know what that is, right? And they're just going to regurgitate and do it again. By the way, she was, what's her name? We were just talking about Carrie Wuerr was also in one of those. Yeah, she was in two.
She was in the second one, I want to say.
Yeah, I think two.
I think you're right.
It's literally called Sharknado 2, the second one.
The second one. There you go. And, so we know what those are, and it's more parody than anything else. But this was fun in a way because while it is kind of parody, sort of, it's not, how do I put this? It's not so... it's not like Airplane, the movie where it's all parody all the time.
Right.
It's not that,
right.
Or it's not so self-knowing and all of that. It still tries to be, scary in parts and jump scary in other parts and kind of disturbing in other parts. And I actually think they kind of pull it off. Like it's not terrible. There's a lot of problems with it. Don't get me wrong, but there are moments that are just like, oh my gosh, dude, freaking. I do not like the idea of a billion spiders getting led by a giant tarantula who's telling them all what to do, and then they all come flooding into the mall like that. And I have a thing for malls and overrunning malls because of zombie movies. And some of that stuff gets to me, and I didn't expect that. I thought I would just think this was all silly. And it was,
It's Tina's a little bit of an arachnophobic. I am kind of as well. And that's silly enough that stuff like that didn't trigger us like it could have.
Oh, did Tina watch? Right. I was curious about that.
She did. She did watch. Well, she watched part of it, and then she said, how much of this is left? Because I'm tired and I want to go to bed. And so I actually watched the last half hour.
Don't forget, this is only an hour and a half movie.
Yeah, okay? It's short. We like to have a nice short movie before a long one, which we'll get to later. But Kim couldn't watch this. And I think the reason we didn't see it in theaters was for that reason. Like, I don't mind. Spiders freak me out, but I'm not like an arachnophobe or anything. But she doesn't. It doesn't matter if it's all parody. She still can't do giant walking. That's the way they walk when they swarm as a group. The jumping ones would have put her in the freaking grave, dude.
That was a great scene, by the way. The jumping spiders chasing
the jumping motorcycles.
The dirt bikes. Yeah. See, that was so 2002. We were let's put some dirt bikes in this film.
Right.
And let's do the Superman. Oh, he's going to get spiders.
Yeah.
Let's gleam the cube, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
There were some effects that were like, oh, that's all right looking. And then there were some
Let me tell you what effect almost took me out of the movie. Ugh. And that was the fighting between the spider and the cat hitting the drywall. That's not how that works.
But admittedly, that needed to be a Warner Brothers cartoon on its own. But
absolutely,
that was the best thing in the whole film. I need you to understand that was the best. I was dying. I had to pause the movie and come back and watch it all again so I could see. Right. It was so freaking good. I don't know how they did it. I don't want to know how they did it. I just know that was the best, funniest, most entertaining part of the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Poor Pete.
When I put actual impressions, I just kept thinking to myself, man, your drywall is bad. Like, who?
Right.
How soft
Pete,
and
Pete's
gooey.
Obviously not. Pete's not very competent in anything he does. So I don't know how he made like this slurry that is his drywall, but he was obviously pissed because his wife was pissed. She left him, by the way.
Oh, that's right, because he was crying.
Immediately.
The cat dies in the ceiling over the fan, and she's gone. That's it.
I've never seen anybody more with a worse excuse for them crying than I'm lactose intolerant, and it's making
me mucusy
or whatever he said. I captured that. But,
I'm telling you, Pete, Rick Overton's character in this film was my favorite thing.
You got me thinking about comparing this to Sharknado, and I feel like there's a really positive and a really negative comparison for Sharknado. And like on the positives, I wish that this had been a series of Eight-Legged Freaks movies, because the Sharknado series gives us like two films with Mark McGrath and two films with David Hasselhoff and so on. And I'm like, that would have been really interesting, right?
Yeah. We don't need David Arquette at all.
But then on the other hand, like Sharknado goes way too long. Like there are literally two documentaries about Sharknado.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. No, it you got to stop. Like this movie stops at one and leaves me wanting more. And that's a good thing.
I think you're right. I'm going to agree with that. I don't want a bunch of sequels to this. I mean, if they decide to revive it, fine. I wouldn't mind seeing modern tech applied here, because the physics models and some of that stuff's pretty bad. And, you know, this is, what, 9 years after Jurassic Park? It should have been a little better by then, and it just seemed kind of off and cheap. So that would be cool. Again, I'd like a hard R take on giant spiders, just because I think that would scare the shit out of me.
I would love that. I would love them to bring Dougie Doug back and have him just dump the whole radio person. Yeah, just dump the whole radio personality and just be freaked out. Him and Pete. Harlan and Pete. That's what I want. Eight-Legged Freaks, Harlan and Pete.
Harlan and Pete show.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I don't know. You're describing a thing I think I don't want, but maybe.
Rated R.
Now, my least favorite character in the entire thing is a bias, and I'm going to admit it. It's that Gilmore Girls kid. He's from the later seasons of Gilmore Girls. He's trapped in the mine most of the movie, but he's the rapey boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. And who'd you hate more? Was it Wade or Brett? It sounds like you went with Brett.
I went with Brett, and here's the reason. It's not because of this movie. I mean, he's kind of a dick, but it's not really because of this movie.
Kind of a dick?
He's a huge dick. The
dude is running.
He's running without
some unexpected truck driver.
Yeah. All right, but here's the deal. He's in Gilmore Girls. He's in the seasons that everyone hates, or that I hate, which is Rory goes off to college, okay? And she meets this super uber-rich college boyfriend who's got more money than he'll ever know what to do with, and he's constantly trying to please his dad. She's basically dating, like, Eric Trump is what he reminds me of. And he is the biggest weasel, cheesy little dickweed ever in that show. And so I could never, ever take him serious in this. And the whole time he's making out with Scarlett Johansson, I'm like, dude, enjoy that while you got it, because you suck, and you're never going to kiss anyone like that again. And when he got his nuts shocked and he was basically forcing himself on her, I thought, you better not have me try to make me have any empathy for this kid later in the movie. And they kind of did. I am not ready to forgive the rapey kid at the end of this movie. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, right.
I don't care how weird things got or if giant spiders came or not. Like, you just,
you know what? You're protective over Scarlett Johansson, Scott.
Yeah, but you know what softened? You know what softened the attempted rape?
What?
The fact that it was the middle of the day. It was they were in plain sight of all these people driving by on bikes. Like, that, for some reason, that made it less dangerous somehow. Mm-hmm. Like not from the beginning of that scene, I'm like, oh, she's gonna be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I knew she'd be fine because the movie's a good time. Yeah, and the movie's never gonna go that dark, but I hated him. He puts him right up there with, like, every blonde freaking penis from every bad movie.
Every character that, not David Spade, but who's the guy?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, not David Spade. No, it's the guy who was in all the John Hughes films as the, he was on Boston Public later on. Blacklist.
Spader.
James Spader. I was like, I got so hooked on David Spader. Like, how that's his name, right? But I couldn't get around it. Yeah, he's basically the James Spader.
There you go.
He is, or the blonde kid. I guess he's good now in that Blacklist series. No, the series on YouTube, the Karate Kid thing. What's it called?
Oh, yeah.
Billy Zabka. Yeah, the Cobra Kai show.
Basically one of those guys.
I haven't seen the new season, but.
Yeah. I want to watch that. Yeah, I still haven't seen any character. Of it. But yeah, he's that guy in this. And I'm sorry, I just don't have any sympathy for it. Okay, I know you had to spend all night in the mine. And for a huge portion of the movie, they just forget that kid exists. It's just gone. Mm-mm. And then they run into him again with Mayor McCheese with his freaking long hair.
Wade!
And I just don't have any sympathy for him. Like, oh, okay, you came back. He actually ran up and hugged Scarlett Johansson when they saw him again? F off! Like, you don't get to hug her, dude. Rapey bastard. I don't like him.
Yeah. Tom Noonan, by the way, is the spider guy who was from all these other things we've seen. And he is not in the credits. Oh. I was staring at the credits.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to see his name because I was trying to remember. Yeah, Tom Noonan.
Why is he not in there? What is that about? That's weird.
I don't know. Maybe he disavows the movie.
Right.
Do you think those are his real fingernails?
I think that dude is the biggest creeper. Oh, no, he's in here. He's uncredited. You're right. They list him, but he's listed as uncredited. That's crazy. Huh. Yeah, I always get the feeling with Tom Noonan, like, there's like 500 Hollywood people are sitting around right now going, who can we call that would make the perfect, like, molester psycho? Right. And that's your guy.
You got one of those shirts all ripped up. Yeah, just wear that.
Yeah, he's weird. He's just so weird and creepy, and I can't think of anything he isn't that.
Here's another description for you, Scott. Literally in the 12 Monkeys TV series, his character is named Pallid Man.
Pallid Man. Fantastic.
Pallid Man.
Yeah. Okay.
He was Reverend Nathaniel Cole in Hell on Wheels, and he was creepy in that.
Yep.
Yeah. In Leftovers,
can you make a film in our modern sensibilities where a kid is best friends with, like, a store owner? Is that still something that we do?
It is. And I feel like I've seen it recently. And it's all about being in a city. And like I say, like I was talking about the scene in the front of the truck, you put it in a totally, like, visible place. You put that relationship, right? So, right. Like, the adult runs a hot dog cart during the day,
right.
And the kid and the adult, like, teach each other valuable life lessons or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You just, like, as it, long as you keep it in a safe place, you get to have the safe relationship.
Mm-hmm. It fits the character. It fits the thing that no longer exists in our society to a large part, which is the apprenticeship relationship where a child is an apprentice to someone who is, you know, a craft or a trade. And I just don't, how do you comfortably put that in a film now? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you if you ever set that relationship in it at night, then suddenly the audience is going to think about there's danger there, you know?
Right, danger.
Wow, if you go do a Google search, image search for this guy, Tom Noonan. He, everything's just weird.
This is 2002, Scott. You should be Yahoo in that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, wait a minute. 2002, it's still Google.
Hotbot.com.
No,
hold on.
Google was around. Google was around in 2002. It was the number two browser at the time.
No, it wasn't. Not 2. Yeah. They were number one in 2002. I was using it since 98. I'm not saying everybody is.
Search. Well, go do the search. I'm telling you, it was number one used. It was a directory. It was a directory search engine instead of what Google is. Which was the number one search? I googled this. Even Google agreed.
All right, here we go. List of top. Okay, wait. Number one in the world. Oh, this is trying to give me music shit. Why? Google, you don't want us to see it. You don't want to see our dark secrets in the past.
I'm really sad. I just went to hotbot.com and it's the guy's blog. It's the blog from the guy who started Hotbot. It's not a search engine anymore.
Aww. Aww. Really?
It's a funny blog? That he's holding on to it though. Like, that's impressive. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like I just can't. It's hoarding. It's site hoarding.
Oh yeah, look at that. Privacy tip of the week. How to make your smart home privacy friendly. It's like you're totally right. It's a blog.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was my search engine during the first couple of years of Google because I just didn't believe in Google. Like, it just didn't seem like it was gonna last. Whereas for some reason, Hotbot did.
Right. Well. It was 2004. It looks like when I put a link in by the show notes. By the way, it looks like it was around 2004 when Google kind of finally overrode and took over.
That's crazy to me. I would have thought they hit it big in 98 and never looked back, but I'm shocked
I flip back and forth because it was a time when Yahoo was a curated search engine really maintained by humans for the most part.
Right. And AltaVista was the sort of like wide open space, but they just couldn't keep up. They couldn't figure out the tech.
Do you guys remember Lycos? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woof,
woof. I went there just now and it says I get a warning that says this website is not secure. So I have a feeling this fell into nefarious hands and is now not really a search engine. But AltaVista, this is a fun site.
Well, AltaVista was bought by Yahoo.
Oh, is that can I even go to it? Let's see.
Yeah. I'm sure you can.
Probably,
I'm just
probably redirected to AOL or something. Yeah.
Your connection is attackers. Am I spelling it wrong? ALT.
Everywhere Scott goes is a warning. Scott is now apparently
in. You cannot visit the past unless you go to archive.org and look up AltaVista. That's the way I do it.
AltaVista. Yeah, I do that a lot, but I'm just weird because here we go. Oh, it just takes you to Yahoo. You're right. Yeah, they bought them. Yeah. That's too bad. That's too bad. Anyway, whatever.
Is it though?
Oh, okay. If you go to altavista.com, it says it's not secure and says that attackers on this URL have known to steal personal information, passwords, messages, and credit cards. Please leave if you are afraid of all this. So there you go. Anyway, back to spiders. They're huge, and that's a fun thing. All right, let's see. I found it a little exhausting toward the end because at the end I'm like, all right, yeah, we get it. There's lots of big spiders and shit. We got it. It's starting to wear a little thin. The
thing is, the spiders outnumber the people by such a great degree that it shouldn't have mattered. Nothing should have mattered. Mm. Like when you see that Zerg rush on the mall by the spiders, you realize, how many people do we have left at this point? A dozen? Let's say 15. Yeah. We have 15 people. We have 10,000 spiders. It doesn't matter if you blow up a mine. You're only going to get a tenth of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, they were never going to get them all. Also, that mall was dumb. For a city that's dying or for a town that's dying and stuff.
It was actually filmed in an abandoned mall that was to be demolished.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the other weird thing about this movie. In the daytime, amazing cinematography. What a beautiful place they were shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to live there. Like, it's like an oasis in the that desert there. It was beautiful. I'd live there. What was it called?
That was Arizona.
No, but what was the name of the town they had?
It was Prosperity.
Prosperity was the fake town. Right. They filmed outside of like Glendale and Page, and there's a filming location in Superior, Arizona. I love that name.
Most people are real uppity there.
Nicole used to live, right?
No, she lived in Surprise, is where it was.
Surprise.
Yeah.
All right. Surprise, Superior. We name our places weird.
Yeah, Surprise,
Arizona. But it is that that mesas and desert stuff that I know you really gravitate to, Scott.
I really do. I could live in all of that, especially the way they have the rivers there and there's enough green that you're not living in desert. It's not like Scott, dunes or something. Oh, I love
what, it. What spider is it that hides under the rock? What spider is
trapdoor
that?
Spider.
Trapdoor.
So there was only saw one instance of the trapdoor spider, and I was severely disappointed that it wasn't used more.
They killed all the ostriches and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, Pop Goes the Ostrich was hysterical. I enjoyed that scene very much. Yeah.
I really want to see footage of the guy with the ostrich head puppet who's just out of frame, but his arm is straight up. He goes, and then pulls the...
Yeah, I assume those are puppets, right? They have to be.
They had to be.
Yeah, they're really funny. I made a GIF of one because I could use it for something. I don't know what. But yeah, watching those things jump out and get stuff was kind of cool. I thought that guy was dead that night because he's walking around these trapdoors. And then it would have been nice.
Like Randy talked
about
at the beginning of the show, man, when they put something in the film, they stuck with it. I mean, it's like, okay, we did ostriches for a while. And that was just all through the movie. Yeah. I mean, burger ostriches. I mean, it was just, they didn't let up on that kind of stuff.
Why weren't the radioactive crickets giant? Why were they still tiny? What was the problem there? That doesn't make sense.
They're just a filter. They're just a filter, Scott.
I don't get it.
They're just,
they're just carriers of the giant gene or something.
Somehow, insects are different than arachnids somehow.
Mm. Mm. Oh, by the way, the movie was originally supposed to be called, we make fun of that line, but that Arach Attack was the name of the film.
Yeah,
and it changed because Dr. David Arquette improvised the phrase eight-legged freaks, and they decided to make that the title because
it's a good title.
It's a good title.
It's a really good title.
But in the European markets, it was still called Arach Attack. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Back to your cricket question. It absolutely, things were growing slowly over time because the crickets were larger. He said, Tom Noonan's character said that the crickets were larger, but only... just by a little bit, I guess.
Well, because overnight, literally overnight, I'm sorry, not even overnight, like within minutes.
It was 10 days incrementally it did, or was it? Yeah.
I don't know what that was. Oh, yeah, because it says yet another week later or whatever that subtitle said. But when the scariest scene in the movie, honestly, the most viscerally scary scene for me was him getting bit and then pounding around his spider lair and all of those things crashing and breaking open and little spiders running everywhere. That's what gets me.
It was almost a police squad OJ Simpson montage where OJ falls and crashes into a China shop.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
That actually gave me more of the willies than anything else. Cause just the idea of all those spiders running around.
I know I've talked about this on FilmSack before, but there will never be a more germane time for it. And that is, I grew up in South Texas. There were tarantulas. Tarantulas are just a thing in that part of the world. In my childhood, they became more prevalent. Like when I was an early child, there weren't as many. And then later, two decades along, there were a lot more. I'm not sure what that's about. But there are, tarantulas are just common where I grew up. And I want you to know it was very common in my childhood to come walking up to someone out on the street and they had a tarantula on their back because those damn things would drop down and you just couldn't feel them. They weigh nothing. And I have seen it so many times where someone's got a tarantula on
that,
them.
That, sir, is nightmare fuel. Thank you for that.
And someone else comes along and just swipes it off. You just knock it off. It's not a big deal. They don't hurt. They're not dangerous,
No.
Favorite scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Alfred Molina turns around and he's just covered with...
And he just wipes them off.
Indiana Jones has got one and then...
Bull whip.
Mm-hmm. And then Indiana Jones tells him to turn around and he's just covered with them.
Yeah. He just wipes right
off.
You could have a tarantula on your back right now, Brian. Yeah.
No.
I could.
No.
Really could.
I no.
Could.
See, that's the kind of spider that freaks me out.
Those are the most harmless to people, though.
I know. Tell that to my nervous system.
You can just hold them. You can hold them and crawl on you. People love them, but I can't do that. I'm not doing that.
Their fangs are so small that they can't really penetrate. Right. All your layers of skin.
Something in the genetics of how I was, became Brian says no spider.
Yeah. Part of your origin story. Yeah.
You were being assembled. Hey, here's the funny thing. Yes. When I was a kid, I probably told the story before on some other show, but I'll tell it again. When I was a kid, I used to collect all kinds of animals. And at one point, I had a tarantula. I had a toad, a big, great big toad. And I had a praying mantis. And I thought it would be interesting to see if I put them all in the same cage, if they would get along. Or who would win? Like, who would stand triumphant at the end of all of this? And right. It wasn't even a big... Nice. None of them... The spider was huge. The toad is huge. But the praying mantis was kind of small and spindly. I thought he was going to be dead in the first day or whatever. I did all this and came back later. And the toad's dead in the corner, laying on his back. The spider is on its back, staring at the ceiling. And the what's this called over is in the corner with praying mantis licking his chops and licking his arms and just doing great.
I'm pretty sure this is how serial killer, you know, that's how that happens, right?
Yeah.
Serial killers start by pitting their insects against each other.
You know, it's basically Scott S. Thunderdome going.
Yep. Welcome to Thunderdome. And basically at the end of it all, I just learned that the worst insect ever is a praying mantis and everyone should avoid them forever. And if you want to make a really scary movie, make those big because we're all dead.
Right. I think there is a movie about there, isn't there?
There probably is. They're horrible.
It's got to be.
Horrifying creatures.
Did you pick up the losers and look at them and say, you disappoint me? And then just dump
no,
them out?
No. I felt bad because my intent wasn't to hurt them. I just thought, in fact,
I just wanted to see a good fight.
I really honestly thought that they would just kind of keep to themselves and then do their own thing. And the toad and the spider did. It was the shitbag freaking praying mantis.
You didn't have a beta fish to put in there too?
No, I didn't have one.
Just a little tiny ashtray swimming around.
No,
it's interesting, Scott, that this all happened before the internet, because nowadays a kid would just look it up and they would find images of praying mantises killing hummingbirds.
Yeah,
like that's a really common thing on the internet is that praying mantises can kill hummingbirds.
I didn't know that.
And you go, oh wow, okay, so that insect punches above its weight division. You know,
mm-hmm. I've never heard of that. Hummingbirds? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was way more into, I was raising gerbils because I sold them. It was like a side job of mine.
So let's stop this story.
And Scott would have a little kid come over and he'd say, look at this one, Mikey. Look at this.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite like that. It wasn't quite like that. But like I would go out, I was like, I don't know, 12. And I would go out and sell gerbils. I'd put them in a cage after they'd grown. Right. I'd have a couple of breeding parents, and I'd end up with, like, I don't know, 20 gerbils.
Meanwhile, down at the gerbil farm.
And then we'd go, and I'd sell them for, like, $3 a piece. It was actually an okay job. It was better than mowing lawns, I guess. But
wait, is there good profit in that?
Yeah, I did all right. Yeah, because once you buy your own gerbils for, like, I don't know, $6.50 or something each at the pet store. You take them home. They mate. Right. They have a little brood of little babies. They grow up, and then you sell them for $3 a pop. Yeah, you've already, you know, sell two of them. You've made up your money from the cost, and now you just, it's all profit from there.
I just want to debate you on one point. There was nothing better than mowing lawns. I bought a car on lawn mowing money.
Yeah.
Mowing lawns was gross. I still don't get it. I don't understand how everybody in the neighborhood was paying me so much money. It's nuts. Like, why
would you $20 to $40 for a yard?
Yeah, and it was a good workout. I was in the best shape of my life. Like, what in the world are you thinking? Like, I would have done it for like $5, but they didn't know that, and they would just I'd take their first offer. Let's go.
Yeah.
What you didn't know is they would have paid you $60.
Yeah, you would have done. I mean, look, it's not that it wasn't lucrative to mow lawns versus this. It was that seemed really sweaty and hard, and this was easy because
you let the gerbils do all the work.
Yeah,
you do it.
Yeah, I like everything less sweaty and less hard.
Now, I gotta know, were you like a micromanager? Were you in there like, you know, encouraging?
Yeah. All right, we got to breed you boys. Get this going.
No, but so I have told this story in TMS, but I'll relay it here. When I was at the height of my gerbil farming. I had a whole bunch of gerbils, little mid-range baby gerbils that are all starting to see and have hair and stuff, getting ready to sell them. They were probably 3 weeks away from sell status. And we were redoing the basement. So my dad had just finished putting in new drywall in the basement, speaking of drywall. And right over where the cage was, it was a aquarium with a grated top. So it had air would come through this grated top. And my dad and I don't know who all were down there sanding, or they had put up caulking And then they sanded the caulking, which is what you do. Caulking, rather.
Caulk!
Anyway, we didn't think much of it, and we didn't cover the cage because, you know, they didn't think about it. They just didn't. We leave. We come back.
Respiratory failure.
We come back that night, and I look in the cages just to check on my boys, you know, what's going on in there. I can't see anything. I'm like, where are all the freaking gerbils? Did they get out? Like, what's going on? And I get a closer look, and I start to notice little limbs and legs and tails and stuff just laying everywhere like a massacre. And in the corner is one of the father gerbils. He's like one of the only ones left. And he's sitting.
He's sitting in the corner
like Jabba the Hutt. And he had done that. He'd gone crazy.
I told you I'd do it.
And ate. I think they ate each other, and then he was just the last one standing. But they all went nuts on that powder, and ended up eating each other. So this giant freaking,
my prophet. No!
It was a total cannibal. He's in the corner, just going, bring me a bucket. You know, looking like freaking what's his name.
Did you put him down, Scott?
No, he died. He died himself.
Death penalty?
Not long after that. He was barely moving when I found him, and he'd eaten himself to death.
Right. And, I made a horrible choice.
Brad Pitt came in.
I chose partner.
So they chose very poorly. And by the end, I was out of gerbil. That was the whole thing just gone. It was a massacre. It was awful. So anyway,
never raising gerbils again.
Don't sand your drywall by open gerbil cages is all I'm saying. There's the lesson in that. All right. Glad we got to go down that road.
You think it all started out innocent, like it's like, oh, you got a little drywall on you. Let me lick it off. Oh, we're kind of tasty.
I don't know. Maybe. Like, what is in that would make these gerbils go crazy? No one's ever been able to explain this to me, and I've never found an explanation.
We should test it now. Let's get some gerbils.
Yeah. And they were the most docile. Like, this is like their fourth brood or something. Like, they weren't, I call them brood. I don't know if that's actually what you call them. Bunch of baby gerbil litter, whatever.
Litter, yeah.
Yeah, they were fine. They just, there was no reason for, his name was Shadow, and because he was all black fur with a little bit of white on his belly, but there's no reason Shadow should have eaten all those gerbils. I don't know. It was really bad. It was kind of shocking, and I think that's when I quit. I was like, I'm not doing that again. That was awful.
Out.
I was kind of close to that. At least the parents I was close. And he ate his wife, too. So she was like half a corpse just laying there with the tail and back feet. And the upper half was like consumed by Shadow and all these little bits. Oh, it was awful. Like, if you think about it in human terms, this would have been the worst massacre in the history of man. It would have been terrible.
Right. Oh, here's some tips for taking care of gerbils. First, don't try and dry them off in the microwave.
That's a good idea.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I found a website that teaches you how to prevent gerbils from doing cannibalism.
Oh, wait, that sounds like the investigation just got a big lead. What happened?
Cold case. Gerbil.
Oh, my God. This needs to be its own movie.
Yeah. Wait, what does it say? Is there a tip?
Okay, so how we're going to prevent gerbils from being cannibals. So reduce environmental, prevent housing too many adults together. Mm-hmm. Overcrowding causes cannibalism.
Okay.
Don't handle the young if they're less than 10 days old. The human handling the young means the young becomes food for the others.
I always thought that meant that would make him sick. We never did that for different reasons, but that's interesting. Okay, keep going.
Don't leave the father in the cage more than one week after the babies are born.
Oh, well, this is well after that.
Yep.
Maybe that was it.
There's your answer.
Other things that cause cannibalism: inadequate nesting material, inappropriate litter size. So that's like too many babies, I guess. They eat them.
Yeah.
My favorite, lack of privacy. Scott.
Oh, man.
Right. You gotta give the gerbils some privacy.
Well, they had little cave things and like runners.
I guess
stuff.
The question is, what were you doing right? Is really the question.
I don't know now. Now I'm starting to question everything because I thought it was that dust. Maybe it was never the dust. Maybe it was just lucky timing.
Hey, Dad, I don't know what happened. I'm blaming it on the dust.
And the funny thing is, previous to this, every year I'd lose one or two because they'd get out somehow. One of them would chew through a thing and get out or whatever. And they'd always end up in like an air vent. And then you wouldn't know until July that they were there because the whole house would smell like a dead rodent. I don't know how my parents put up with that. It's crazy now that I think about it.
So four-legged freaks coming this fall.
Yep.
Gerbil cannibalism is real.
Yep. Gerbilism. There you go.
Let the cannibalism begin.
Let's do. You guys want to do clips? I have a bunch of clips.
Let's. Totally
oh, you clips. Have to have some clips.
Yeah, I do. Like this guy talked about earlier by Ibbot or by sorry Dunaway brought this guy up, but here he is.
I see dead people. I see dead people.
He loves that movie.
I hear Parrot, who is not really a parrot and probably a guy.
Yeah. I see dead people.
That's not a parrot.
Why not record a parrot? It's not that difficult. The freaking parakeets can be taught to say things
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, but it takes forever. I mean, they need a movie now. Yeah. They can't wait for somebody to...
a movie now.
Yeah. Unless you have one that just does stuff on command, and I don't know if there is such a thing. I think you have to train them.
I'm just saying, everybody who has a talking bird knows that you could just put something on a loop and the bird will start saying.
I'm just saying you're making a multi-million dollar film. Put some effort. That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like Randy's right, though. You put him a kid, if you put a sound loop of I See Dead People probably for a day and the bird's in the room the whole time, you should repeat it.
Right.
And then you only need to record it once and then just repeat it back. But anyway, it's annoying.
I see dead people.
Because that's a guy going, I see dead people.
Yeah.
I see dead people.
Here is a very young Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson. Here you go.
Oh, come on. Give him a break. Get in the truck, Ashley. Mom. Now.
Okay, now I isolated this.
Mom.
Because it sounds funny.
Mom.
Mom. I didn't realize what a deep voice she had for such a young person.
Very deep voice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It fits her now, but... in this movie, it was kind of odd. I was like, oh.
People don't talk enough about how, because it's a big blockbuster Marvel movie, how good she was in Endgame. She was really good.
Yeah.
Like her whole scene where she's eating the peanut butter sandwich and talking to Captain America and had just turned off the 3D Skype with all her friends or whatever. Right. She was talking about what to do. She was Discord. That was really good. Like some of the best acting the MCU's had. She was. Mm-hmm. Great in that movie. All right. Let's see. I don't like... Oh, here's a jacked up mom sound. I don't know what that is, but I wrote jacked up mom sound.
Mom.
Oh, it's that. It's that again.
Right. Thanks, Scott.
All right.
I'm glad you make notes.
Yeah, I do.
Because like, they're so useful.
They really are useful. Like this one. I don't like the sound of them running. That freaks me out. I don't like that.
Yeah, their running was creepy.
That's funny. It's like a guy tapping on a pile of paper bags with a wooden mallet or something.
There was pretty another much. One that was like the sound of you yanking on your cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that sound? That
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sound,
which is usually used to indicate something else.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
I will give them credit for going all out and really creating new sounds, because it'd be so easy just to use stock sounds for this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it sounds like they went all out.
Here's what's this? Oh, I don't know what this is. My notes are bad. All right, whatever this is, here it is.
Wait, this is a town meeting, not the WWF.
Oh, it's a WWF reference. That's what it was.
Yeah, which is no longer the WWF.
It was. This was a minute before they became the WWE. This movie and that changeover came out at the same time. The movie was made a few months before the changeover.
Yeah, you're right about that. Let's see. Get furry cat ass out of here.
Get your furry cat ass out of there.
Yeah. All right. And then this bit was funny.
I just, I have an intolerance to dairy. I'm just a little bit mucusy right now.
Pete, the best thing in the film.
Yeah.
Pete was pretty good.
You know who that would have been now? Hmm. Nowadays is the guy from Bless This Mess. Damn it, what's his name? Oh,
yeah,
my
it,
brain.
Name?
My brain just that's, failed.
That's perfect. He also played in the Goldbergs. He's the neighbor in that as well.
Oh, by David the way, Koechner?
Yes. Yeah. Koechner would have been that.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good show, by the way. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what? It was good. Yeah.
Which one?
The Goldbergs?
Goldbergs is
that,
great.
And also Bless This Mess.
Oh,
I have not seen Bless This Mess.
Yeah. I haven't either.
It's not like great, but it's good. It's good.
Here is, let's see. Where is it? Oh, this is Scarlett Johansson being kind of rude, being very rude. Here it is.
I'm not going to get pregnant at 16. I'm not going to stay here for the rest of my life and be like a trailer trash sheriff.
Jeez.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
That last bit though. Whew.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I wouldn't call
she
it.
She could have just said trailer trash and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very specific at that point.
Some washed up MTV X wannabe Sliders cast off replacement actress.
Oh, Sliders. I love Sliders. Both the food and the show. All right. Here's
I'm here for some Sliders.
This is a poo script, and here's how I know.
Well, that seems awful big to be a spider leg.
Yeah, that's the problem. But nobody's gonna believe me.
Believe what?
Do you really want to know?
Try me.
It's just bad.
Yeah, and I think so much of it is Arquette's delivery. This is why he isn't a thing, or why he wasn't a big thing.
Right. Right.
They tried to make him a thing with this movie, and he wasn't a thing.
Didn't work.
Yeah. He was almost a thing, but not quite.
Oh, he was always just about there, sure.
Yeah,
right. And he married
but it
one
was
of the
of stuff like wasn't he in the Scream movies or a couple of them anyway? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
his sisters.
Yeah, he's not a bad actor. Like he's okay. Not. It's just this is his cruising altitude, these kinds of movies.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why we're thinking about like the Tremors movies or what have you. Like he could be in that and he would do fine.
Ready to Rumble is a much better David Arquette film.
Ready to Rumble. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. He's also
where he's trying to get the wrestling. His, we can't watch that.
He's one of those families where the sisters, his siblings are just better than he is.
Right.
Like he's the Stephen Baldwin.
He's not bad. He's just David Arquette.
He's the third Hemsworth brother. It's just fine, you know. Let Liam and Chris Hemsworth have all the glory. You be Chucklehead Hemsworth and be in Westworld or wherever he's at right now. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Is there anything charming about David Arquette? I feel like he's
yes. Oh no. My gosh, yes,
it's charming. That's probably how I would classify him.
I'd have to be into dudes to tell you that, because I don't find him very charming. I think he's just kind of there.
Oh, I think he absolutely is. Like he has to carry the movie, and he does a fine job.
He's your gosh golly go, you know, oh shucks kind of guy. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
right.
It's all right. All right. This is tropey as hell. I wrote
going off to get wasted, have a wild orgy, and I might steal a car. You want one,
Brett? I'm on the phone. Go have some fun. I'll see you later.
I'm on the phone.
What is there? I didn't feel like I could go back and watch this movie again, but I never understood. Was Brett and Wade, was that father's son or father's stepson?
Couldn't
Did
figure
they
that
really
out.
Ever
I think
say,
he's just living in the basement or some shit. They never really explained it. Because he wasn't his dad, I don't think.
He kept calling him Wade, but I wasn't sure if that was just a way of saying, oh, their relationship's not close and he doesn't call his father. He calls him Wade, but like, yeah, maybe it's meant like, to be more like a stepfather thing.
It's like Bart calling his dad Homer, that kind of thing.
Right. Go ahead.
I just thought that was his dad. He lives with his dad.
That's what
he's
I assumed.
About 17. Mm. You know, like just like ScarJo, I can't remember her name. He's on the cusp of moving out, and it just seemed like the same story in a different household.
Yeah. His friends were dicks, by the way, the kids' friends.
Oh, but they're all dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Nope. That's true. That was a big trope of don't believe me that there's danger coming means you're going to die right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
How about, here's the best lines ever right here.
The probe, the anal probe. Yeah, let's talk about the probe. Let's talk about the anal probe.
Man, he really wanted to talk about the anal probe.
Yeah.
It's all about the probe.
That made me laugh a little bit.
It made me laugh a lot. I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The animals are leaving.
Ostriches, cats, and dogs disappearing all over town.
Yeah. And then this lady said something. This lady said something very funny on the 911 call.
Sir, last time I checked, cats and dogs are not fish.
That's a great line. Cats and dogs are not fish.
He called the fish and game department.
Sad that she had to check, though.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a little bit of a bummer. Here's another one.
Whoa, that thing is huge!
By the way, that kid is from... he was young Matt Murdock in the in that kind of bad
Daredevil
movie.
The Ben Affleck one. Yeah.
He wasn't that young, though. I remember talking about like they had flashed back to some age, and he seemed way over the age. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I liked it.
How about this? Breakfast in bed.
You know how all women like breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
How do you know that? What does that mean?
I think it's one of those kind of those statements like, well, all women love breakfast in bed, but so do all men. Pretty much everybody loves breakfast in bed.
The kid is repeating something that the spider guy said earlier.
Right.
Like they're walking around looking at spiders, and the spider guy says to the kid, you know how women love breakfast in bed. I'm like, how would the kid know that?
Yeah.
The kid shouldn't know that.
He wouldn't know
right.
that.
Right. Right. He wouldn't know that unless, Tom Noonan told him.
And how would Tom Noonan know that? Yeah. Come on.
And maybe that was the point.
Maybe.
Bad advice.
Fair point. What BS is this I wrote?
Giant spiders? What the hell kind of bullshit is that?
Oh, yeah. I put that in the top of the show. Forgot. Starting
with the word what. If you cut that out, you have a great reaction sound.
Let's see.
Giant spiders? What the hell kind of bullshit is that?
Oh, yeah. That's not bad. You can use that for something. That's
real good.
Here's the comic sounds of this dumb spider.
Gremlins. Yes,
very gremlins. Exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, I don't like it. Someone's getting nervous.
You're making me nervous.
All right.
That's actually one of my favorite. You got to save that one.
Yeah, that was good.
You're making me nervous.
Let's see. And then I wrote, I hate this.
What exactly is it? Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that was the Spider-Man joke. Yeah.
They did that a couple of times.
Things. Yeah,
boo.
Right.
Stupid. All right.
She called it Spidey once. Wait, one of them Spidey.
Yeah, call him Spidey. Hey, did you guys notice the Doritos bags? Like, product placement a couple of times? And I was amazed at how old 2002 Doritos bags look. They look very retro.
We finally reached the point, by the way, where like late 90s cars that were in a 2002 movie all look really old.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're right about that. I don't know why, but that's a weird thing to notice. I guess we're just pulling far enough away from that time that it's starting to feel that way.
Yeah.
He had a cool truck, though. That truck was cool.
Yeah, I that's kind of a trope to me. It's always like some poor hillbilly hick has a really wicked cool vehicle.
Yeah, and it was not only old, but it was like refurbished, restored or whatever. That was a beautiful truck. I would drive that truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Here is this. It's the Film Sack checklist. Never trust the guy who addicted everyone to Nuke to manage your spiders.
Yeah.
Too many pets in peril. Check. And finally, spiders have a taste for ostriches. Check. Never had an ostrich thing with ostriches.
The massive trapdoor spiders are having the best meal.
Oh, they're into it, man. They're into it. I've never had ostrich, but I would do it if someone gave me something.
Tastes like chicken.
Does it? Like a big chicken?
I don't know. Actually, I've never had ostrich either. But
probably does though. It's like just big birds. Anyway, track connection. We got Leon Rippey. He played Wade he played LQ Sonny Clemens in the first season episode of The Neutral Zone in 1988. That is the original in TNG.
All the way
there's
to the Neutral Zone.
There's a 10-second clip of him, apparently, Daryl sent. Let me see if I can play this. It's very short. Here we go.
Come back later on, you and me will find us a couple of low mileage pit wolfies and help them build a memory.
Yeah. It's a little quiet, but that's the guy. That's your dude.
Yeah. He's in he's Deadwood too. He's in the TV series.
Is he in the movie too? Is it you just finished?
Yes.
Oh, good. He's still around? Great. All right. Says he's still around. Says he's alive, but who knew?
Yep.
Soundtrack grade, I give it an S for sufficient for the material. It's fine.
I was curious about this music. I was wondering if Randy or Ivet had something to say about it. I felt like the music was from the 90s. It didn't feel like music from the early 2000s. It felt like it was a little older.
I always feel like the 90s starts in like 92, 93 and ends in 2003. So that tracks for me.
Okay.
All right then. I like things that track.
I mean, for music, yeah, like popular music and the way music sounds, that decade is shifted back a couple years.
Sure. Speaking of shifting back, let's shift back to 280 characters or less with a Twitter post. That's what we do every week, and we start this week with Randy.
Eight-Legged Freaks, the movie that completely fails to answer the question, why not just leave town? Everyone has like three vehicles parked out front. Every main person in this movie doesn't leave town and then spends the night coming together just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't even see that coming. That was a surprise twist right there.
I didn't either. That's weird. But there it was, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Dunaway.
Yeah, Randy Dunaway. Eight-Legged Freaks. Like sucking on a hose full of radioactive spiders. Pass me those Doritos.
Gross. I can't siphon gas. Like people do that stuff. I can't. I ain't sucking on no hose ever. Forget it.
I ain't sucking on no hose.
Yeah. finally, Brian Ibbett.
Eight-Legged Freaks. Man, if the spiders in my house saw me watching this, they'd be all like,
did you write that out?
I wrote in open and close greater than less than symbol three stages noises.
That's fantastic. Nice job.
Better. We didn't talk about Norman and his giant glasses. We didn't talk about that.
Norman.
Norman, the janitor guy.
Oh, well, he was not that notable other than the glasses, I guess.
Right.
Did the old guy, the barber Floyd guy died, right? Didn't he end up getting
Barber, he was running. He was hiding in the changing room while everybody else was getting murdered. Then he kind of popped out later and got spider.
Pitchfork.
Can't believe it. Yeah. Freaking Floyd.
Floyd!
That's so dumb. All right. Alternate title. Ooh, look at this. Just handed to me. It's was almost called Eight Naked Greeks.
Wow. Different movie.
Yeah. And then also almost called Friendly Neighborhood Spider Clan. Get it? Because there's a whole bunch of spiders, see? We got a call this week instead of an email. And this comes to us from Andreas. Here it is.
Hi there. This is Andreas the Greek from Seattle. I've got a message for FilmSack. So I thought it was interesting that Rachel McAdams has played the wife of a time traveler in three different movies. One in The Time Traveler's Wife, two in About Time, but also she has played in another movie with Owen Wilson called Midnight in Paris, and she's the wife of Owen Wilson, and he travels in Paris through time. So I just thought this was interesting. So, wow. Bye.
That's awesome. I think
his timing is unfortunate right after the Eight Naked Greeks.
I didn't mean to do that, actually. That was not intentional. But
I know.
He's the ninth fully dressed one. That's interesting.
So she's always playing the time traveler's wife.
Yeah.
Right. I've never seen Midnight in Paris. I've seen the other two.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen any of those, actually.
Time Traveler's Wife is really, it's just one of those depressing movies.
Is that the Eric Bana one? Do I have that right? Or no. The Australian guy. Guy Fox.
Guy Pierce.
Yes, Guy Pierce.
Yeah, Guy Fox. That's it.
Guy Fox. He's just a mask.
No. Time Traveler's Wife is Eric Bana.
Oh, it is Eric Bana. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Guy Pierce was the Time Machine.
Oh, okay. Getting my time movies mixed up. I knew there was something in there. Thank you for the call, Andreas. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, it's super simple, 801-471-0462, or you can leave us an email. Regular old email is fine, filmsack@gmail.com. Our movie next week will be, Randy, do the honors.
Oh, we're going to watch AI, guys.
Whoa!
AI, the extraterrestrial.
Yep. I think it was kind of the end of the... Wasn't it the last major movie for the kid before he got weird looking?
Oh, yeah.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, pay it forward.
He didn't get weird. He just finally grew up. No longer like a kid.
Well, that's what I mean. He just started looking weird. Well, I mean, sorry, looking older. But
we all look weird during puberty.
I just
saw
him in that Ted Bundy movie, and he was good. And so it's cool to see him working. But anyway, it was like the pinnacle, though, of that. Like, here's this child actor who's in everything. And I think AI
but
was kind of...
For a while there, as he, in his awkward teenage years, his... face stayed the same size, but his head grew.
Yeah. Still true, by the way. Still true. It almost looks like a Snapchat filter. He's got this little tiny face instead of this giant head.
Anyway. And this is the last movie.
totally does.
Right. Yeah.
This is the last movie effort of Stanley Kubrick, right? Wasn't didn't he work with?
Yep, right, that so was the collaboration
at the start of this.
Right.
Yep.
Kubrick, you know, is slated to make this movie, and then he ages out and dies, and so it has to be sort of completed without him. But it's really more like made with him having just started it.
Yeah,
right.
This is all correct. We'll get into all those nitty gritties because there's some interesting stuff.
Which
to say.
All leads Steven Spielberg to Minority Report.
Yep.
So
yep,
I got things to say.
That's true. That was his very next film after this. So
are we gonna hurt Brian Dunaway? This one?
No, he wants to see this, don't you, Dunaway?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh I yeah. AI is a. It's an interesting film.
Yeah. There's stuff to say.
I have love hate for this film.
I have a lot to say about it. And it's been a long time too, so also it'll be fun to catch up with it and remind myself of the things I liked and didn't like, because there was a lot of things I liked at the time. I think Jude Law as an android was a really brilliant thing. There's a lot to like, but there's also a lot of weird shit and decisions, especially in the end. And it's got like 8 endings, as you guys mentioned before. So.
Was Sheriff Wade in AI? Wasn't he the...
Maybe.
Oh, we're going to find out next week, though.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Don't dig too deep, Dunaway. Jeez, you're going to hit Morocco. You're going to go to China. we'll find that out next week. Hey, a reminder to folks that we have a Discord where people hang out and talk about films and recommend movies to us for us to watch, that sort of stuff. We have a spoiler room and everything. And I don't mention it on the show enough, and I really should. So if you want to get to that thing, just go over to filmsack.com, and there's a permanent link to it. You just click it. It'll bring you into Discord. You can use that on the web, on the app, on your desktop. If you've got a Mac or a PC, it doesn't matter. Or if you want to use it on your phone, Discord's everywhere. So go be a part of that group and check it out. Again, that's at filmsack.com. Lots of good stuff happening there. Also, email us. I mentioned that earlier, filmsack@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, @filmsack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Making me nervous.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I see dead people.
Okay.
I see dead people.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.